Your children don't go to church. Neither does your husband. And you also have that family member that's sick and suffering with cancer. So you decide to pray for them. You pray for them, and you pray for them, and you pray for them. And your children don't come back to the faith. Your husband doesn't seem to respond either. Or all those other things that you're praying for, and you see nothing happens. And you think, well, there's nothing wrong with me, and God is infinitely merciful, so maybe it's the prayers that I'm doing. So you go after this devotion, and then you try that devotion, and then you try another devotion, and you pray these, and you keep trying to no avail, and you wonder, why are none of my prayers being answered? Why does it feel like my prayers are so weak before God? Nothing is happening. We're going to talk about the very thing that you're doing wrong and how to improve it. And when you understand what it is and how beautiful it is, the changes that you need to make so that your prayer is incredibly more powerful before God, it's going to blow your mind and change your life. You will grow closer to Jesus. We're going to talk about that in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. So first, I'm going to give you three metaphors and then one incredible vision to help you understand what we're going to talk about. The first metaphor is, so imagine that you're someone that earns $20 per hour. So let's do the calculations. $20 an hour times 40 hours a week times 4 weeks. So you make $3,200 a month times 12. You make $38,000 a year. And that's something that you're able to sustain yourself with. But then you get married and it gets a little bit more difficult. And then you have one child and then two. And you realize that what you're making isn't enough. And one thing that's frustrating about this is that you know that other people that have more education are making $40 an hour. So they're making maybe $80,000 a year. So with the same amount of time, but different levels of education and the same amount of effort, someone is able to provide twice as much with the same amount of effort, the same amount of time. And then suppose that you're making $100,000 a year, and so you're able to provide for all these different people, but you want to make more, and you make these sacrifices, and so you give up those $100,000 for 10 years to become a doctor, and then you make $1 million a year, and those 10 years of sacrifice, you make it up in the first year of making $1 million, and then it's infinitely expanded upon. And so we see that based on different levels of learning, you're able to, with the same amount of time, obtain much more for your loved ones. The second metaphor that we're going to use, you go up to someone that you don't even know at all, and you say, hey, sir, can I borrow your brand new car and just drive around for an hour? And he says, of course not. I don't even know you. We don't even have a relationship. And then change the situation. You go up to someone that you tell them that you love them all the time. You have an incredible friendship. Their daughter was in the hospital, and you referred them to this incredible doctor that was able to cure their daughter, and you've done all these amazing things for this person. And you go up to that same person, and you say, hey, can I borrow your brand new car? I just want to drive it around for an hour. And he says, of course. Because with that person, in that second situation, you have such a closer relationship with them that whatever you ask, they give to you. Third metaphor. Suppose your favorite billionaire, let's say in this case, Jeff Bezos and Amazon, lives 2 miles down the road, and they decide that they like you and they want to send you all of their products, an infinite amount of products, whatever you want, twice as much of whatever you want sent to you. But the problem is there's only a one lane dirt road in between your house and the factory. So they're incredibly generous, but it takes forever for things to arrive to your house. And then you decide to build a 2-lane road and then a 3-lane road. And then you decide to invest some money to have a 10-lane highway going back and forth between you and them. And you realize that the wider the road, the more you're able to receive from your favorite billionaire. Let me share with you an incredible vision from Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich that's going to shed light on all this even more. She says, I was in a great bright place which extended on every side as far as the eye could see. And there it was shown me how it is with men's prayers before God. They seemed to be inscribed on large white tablets, which were divided into four classes. Some were written in magnificent golden letters, others in shining silver, some in darker characters, and others again in black streaked lines. I gazed with delight, but as I thought myself unworthy of such a favor, I hardly dared ask my guide what it all meant. He told me, "What is written in gold is the prayer of those who have united their good works to the merits of Jesus Christ, and who often renew this union. They aim at observing his precepts and imitating his example. What is written in silver is a prayer of those who think not of the union with the merits of Jesus Christ, but who are notwithstanding pious and who pray in the simplicity of their hearts. What is written in darker colors is a prayer of those who have no peace unless they frequently confess and communicate and say daily prayers, but who are, however, tepid and perform their good works through habit. Lastly, what is written in black, streaked characters, is a prayer of such as place all their confidence in vocal prayers and pretended good works, but who do not keep God's commandments nor curb their evil desires. Such prayer has no merit before God. Therefore, it is streaked. So also with the good works of a man be streaked, who indeed gives himself much trouble to help on some charity, but with a view to the honor or temporal advantage attached to it." So you see from this vision that not all prayers are created equal. And even though you have four people that are all spending the exact amount of time in that moment and the exact amount of effort, they have four different results because of this one word that's mentioned there, merit. The mistake that you're making is that you have low merit before God, so you can pray until the cows come home and your prayers will not be answered because you're like a person that earns very little per hour. You have a very shallow relationship with the person that you're asking for, or you have a dirt road to the infinite almighty. And so that's why he wants to give you everything, but he can't because you have a terrible way of transporting the grace. So what are you supposed to do so that your prayers become increasingly more effective before God? First of all, you got to get an education so that you can make more money per hour. You have to have a better relationship with God. You have to build a 10-lane highway so that he can send you more stuff, whatever those blessings he wants to be. You have to increase in merit. What is it? Merit is the reward of our actions and our relationship before God. That's the simplest way to define it. It's basically the love or the charity that we have with Jesus Christ. The love that we have for him, based on our love for him and our imitation of what he asks us to do. The love that we have for others, and what we're willing to suffer out of love for him. We can kind of divide up our merit or our level of charity based on those three things. The more love we have for Jesus, the more love we have for others, the more that we suffer for Jesus, the more charity and merit we have before him, and the more powerful our prayers can become. And if you don't believe me, listen to the words from this book that I'm reading currently, The Liber Christo Method. Listen to this. "Thus, one's deep friendship with God fuels the efficaciousness of one's prayer." Simple. The deeper your relationship, and it's not deep and deep, it's deeper in multiple varying degrees, infinite degrees of depths. It can make your prayer infinitely more efficacious, from a little bit to more, and in ever-increasing levels. In the next page, he says this, Jesus warns, "Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Righteousness is a centerpiece of blessedness and the meritorious nature of prayer." Later on, it says, "Our holiness, therefore, affects the power of our prayers." That is the thing. So we go to pray and we spend very little time developing our own holiness. So all the things that you ask for, that's why they're not being answered. So how can we, in the first place, develop our love for Jesus? Very simple. tell Jesus that you love him. The Fatima revelations make it very simple. They give us a prayer. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee. And I ask pardon for all those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Or you can make it even simple. If you really want to make it simple, tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you. And because so few people tell him, it is incredibly valuable to him. And because the thing that Jesus wants the most from us is our love, it's incredibly valuable to him. So if you, for instance, were praying for 10 minutes, I would say, don't spend 10 minutes asking something of Jesus. Spend 8 minutes telling Jesus, I love you. Repeat it. That's it. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Do that for 8 minutes. And then in the last 2 minutes, ask something of him. And you will tell me if he doesn't answer you, because he will. Because as we speak words of love to Jesus, as simple as I love you, we're building a bigger highway. We're going from a one-lane road to a two-lane, to a three-lane. So we're amplifying our ability to receive from the infinitely merciful God. It's not him, it's our narrow road, our narrow charity and our small charity that keeps us from receiving the things that God wants to give us. There are multiple different ways of showing love to Jesus. We can talk about the five love languages: words, actions, quality time, acts of service, physical touch. As Catholics, we can exercise all of these. In prayer, you can tell Jesus that you love him. You can do acts of service. You can imagine yourself before the cross, kissing his feet. You can imagine yourself kissing his wounds, kissing his face. You can hold him in your hands and give him that imaginative love, which he counts as actually being done to him. You can spend quality time with him in adoration, which so few people do that he counts it as incredibly valuable. We can offer acts of service for other people and then offer it out of love for him. Did you hear from the vision of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich? The intention with which we do things is incredibly important. Doing it out of love for Jesus. Actively telling Jesus that we love him and showing that we love him and making it clear to him, I am doing or saying this or spending time with you because I love you, is incredibly important, especially if we come from a family where love is not shown or verbalized. This will feel weird to you, but this should be normal, should be part of your spiritual culture, and you should do it multiple times a day. It should be the larger portion of your time should be spent conveying to Jesus that you love him. But we must affirm that love for him in our love for other people. So now you have a better motivation for loving other people. It should be simply because it's the right thing to do, simply because you love Jesus. But now, because you want your intercessory prayer before God to be more powerful, to be stronger, because you want to have more merit, that's why now you're going to be kinder, more loving to your children, to your spouse, to your coworkers, even to yourself and to your other family members. Lastly, we can offer our sufferings to Jesus out of love for him. The incredible thing about this is you don't even have to go out of your way to suffer more. Whatever God already sends you in your day, the pain of waking up, pains in your hip, pains in your back, things that you don't like to eat, the weather, the cold weather that you don't like, or any little pain that you are going through in your life. There is a beautiful prayer given to us by Our Lady and the angel at Fatima that you can pray to unite your sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus and to offer it to him. It's incredibly simple. Oh my Jesus, I offer this for love of thee, for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. If you can't memorize all of that, just say, Jesus, I suffer this for love of you. This knee pain, I suffer it for love of you. This food that I'm eating that I don't like, I suffer it for love of you. Whatever it is that you're doing, whatever suffering, you offer it out of love for Jesus. On a very personal level, in my own experience of praying in this way, when I spend a larger portion of the prayer, instead of just saying prayers or asking things of Jesus, when I spend a larger portion of the prayer simply telling him that I love him, kissing his feet, or doing some sort of internal action of affection towards Jesus, I see my own heart expand and grow. Then when I come to ask anything of him, I ask with much more confidence, with much more conviction, with much more love in my own heart. That love that I show him opens up my heart. It makes it like a 10-lane highway where I'm able to receive so much more from him. My friends, loving Jesus is not difficult. He is the easiest person to love in the universe, and it's not scary. In fact, look at the example of Saint Therese, one of the most powerful intercessors in existence. Because she was so little, she did hardly anything. Because she could hardly do anything, the only thing that she did was spend her time loving Jesus, and presumably in her prayer, telling him over and over again, simple things such as, Jesus, I love you. She worked on what was most essential, and now her prayers are incredibly more effective than many, if not most, of the saints. I want your prayer to become so much more powerful before God. Work first on loving Jesus by telling him that repeatedly in your prayer, loving others so that you could show him that you really mean it, and then even going so far as offering all your little sufferings for Jesus each and every day so that your merit and your charity can increase in this life, so that even in this life, your intercessory power will be doubled or tripled, and so much more so in the next life as well. My friends, before we finish, I want to tell you about the sponsors of today's video. Two things. First, the Rosary Experience app for iOS and Android, where it is a collection of images and videos to help you focus in your praying of the Rosary. Praying the Rosary can be at times very difficult. This app has so many images and videos to help you focus on them, to really see the thing that you're meditating on. I also want to tell you about purgatoryproject.org, a website where you can go and register your deceased loved ones. Think of it like Facebook for the deceased, so that people can see those that are deceased there, get to know them, and offer prayers and sacrifices for them. Check out both of these incredible works. My friends, God bless you, and I will see you in the next one.